Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomason. Good to see all of you here today. We have just a few messages this morning. One is we're going to do a lot of singing, so make sure you have your paperwork here. There's going to be a meeting of the diaconate at 11:30 today. And this upcoming Thursday is going to be a men's night movie fellowship. So hopefully most of you, anybody can come, I guess, but it'd be kind of good to see all of you there. And the last thing that I have is the Women Ministries Book Club. We'll be meeting on Wednesday, October 28th. Does anyone else have anything they would like to add this morning? Then let's sing a song on the insert gathering.
At the table of the Lord.
Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David.
That is my gospel, for which I suffered hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal.
The word of God is not chained.
We bless you, O God. We bless you. We worship you. You are holy. You are enthroned. You are sovereign. We thank you for this day, this season. We thank you for your presence in this time. Receive our worship. The heavens declare your glory. We want to declare your glory. All of creation. We love you, we praise you, we need you. Thank you for the gift of your Son Jesus. We remember his death, his body broken, his blood poured out that we might have forgiveness and salvation. And all we need to do is just say yes to Jesus. Thank you for the gift that you are, Holy Spirit. And that when we ask, you come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And fill us, fill this time, fill this place. May we see your glory, O God. even now as we pray the prayer, the Holy Scripture that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed.
Reading this morning is from Psalm 69, verses 1 through 18, and you can find that on page 462 in the Pew Bible. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Many are those who would destroy me, my enemies who accuse me falsely. What did I not steal? What I did not steal, must I now restore? O God, you know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you. Do not let those who hope in you be put to shame because of me. O Lord God of hosts, do not let those who seek you be dishonored because of me. O God of Israel, it is for your sake that I have borne reproach, that shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my kindred, an alien to my mother's children. It is zeal for your house that has consumed me. The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. When I humbled my soul with fasting, they insulted me for doing so. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. I am the subject of gossip for those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord. At an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me. With your steadfast help, rescue me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. Do not let the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to me. Redeem me. Set me free because of my enemies. The second reading is from Isaiah, chapter 56, verses 1 through 8. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. Happy is the mortal who does this, the one who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and refrains from doing any evil. Do not let the foreigner joined to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And do not let the eunuch say, I am just a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant. I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
invite the children to come forward for a time of blessing. So kids, come on up. Take a moment and come down to the altar. Come on, kids. Thank you.
Yesterday morning, I was at this wonderful thing. I said, the thought just popped in my head and said, the place that I've experienced the most kindness and my family's experienced the most kindness is right here in this place. There are so many kind people here in this church. And there is so much kindness. So if you guys ever feel unloved, unwanted, sad and lonely, I hope that you can come here and experience the kindness. Say a prayer. Hey Lord, thank you for these kids. Thank you so much for your time.
Stand if you are able for our hymn. Let us continue to sing. When peace. Be seated. Invite Liz Butler to come and share with us a bit. Yeah, come right here, Liz. Thanks for sharing today.
Hi, everyone. One day when I was washing dishes and praying, God told me that it is time for me to tell my story. I hope by telling my story, I can help people to be encouraged and to never give up. My dad was in the Air Force, and I was born in California. My brother and sister are both older, so I am the baby of the family. Dad retired in 1989, and we moved back to Connecticut. All my life, I have had a lot of hard knocks. When I was 6, I had a grand mal seizure. Then, when I was still a kid, my dad was going to kill himself, and I had to stop him. After I grew up, I got into a really bad marriage. We had 3 children, but there were a lot of disagreements and finally violence, so it didn't work. After that, I was in another bad relationship, and with that man, I got into drugs. That messed up my life completely. Finally, I was fighting to keep my kids. Well, I did lose the kids. First, my mom went to probate court to get temporary guardianship. I was only using drugs for about a year, but it was bad. I tried to get clean, but I couldn't. I was homeless, too. Then my mom got sick and couldn't keep the kids. I was fighting with DCF to stay connected to my kids in foster care. After about 4 years, DCF finally said I was going to lose my rights to the children. My brother and sister-in-law got qualified to be foster parents, so we worked out an adoption for them. I believe God was watching over me. We have an open adoption so I can still be in my children's lives. I got clean on August 31st, 2007. Gary and I got married February 4th, 2010. We came to the Alpha program here in 2018, and Gary and I joined the church in 2019. The addiction is going to always be with me no matter how much I don't want it to be. Every day can be a struggle, but deep down inside, I know that God is always there. My favorite song is Eye of the Storm by Ryan Stevenson. To me, it feels like everything I have been through in life has been a big storm. But with God's help, I am making it through. The song talks about losing a child. I did lose my kids, but it was a different type of loss. I still get to have them in my life. I feel like I have a second chance at rebuilding my relationship with my family. It is taking time to rebuild that relationship with everyone, but it is really worth it. They have been there for me in the past, and they still are supporting me now. My brother, Quinn, has said that he is proud of me for having come so far. Their support means a lot to me. The serenity prayer means a lot to me. It says, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Right now, I am into Bible studies. I'm coming to Tuesday night prayer, and I help out in Sunday school if they need me. Mostly, I'm praying and trying to know God better.
Thank you. The story connects well with Psalm 69, doesn't it? David is drowning. He's in a sea of trouble. Maybe we've been there at times in our own life. Boy, is it that warm outside that the back doors, the sanctuary doors open? It's like a... Maybe a couple weeks ago, but I think it's pretty chilly out there. Thanks, Vic. But David, he's surrounded by problems. He's in a sea of trouble. He's nearly drowning. He can barely keep his head above the waters. He refers to being swallowed in quicksand. He has no place for a foothold. You ever been like that? You know, you can't find a foothold. As I'm getting older, I don't go up on ladders like Pastor Gary does right now. Because, you got to have that foothold. Even on level ground, I'm looking for that foothold. Or playing golf, you need that foothold too, but he's not sure how much longer he can hold on. Have you been there? I just don't know how much longer I can hold on in the midst of this. He's been crying out for so long that his voice is about to give out. I mean, he's very descriptive about what he's in the midst of. He's being challenged. He's being persecuted. There are enemies. He's having to pay back things he didn't steal. You know, that's, and if you read on, and you know, there's probably 30-some verses to Psalm 69. It's pretty amazing. But maybe you've been there. You feel like you're in over your head. The waters are rising. You're calling out for help, but nobody answers. The cry for help is about 16 times minimal. You know, rescue me, help me in this psalm. You know, David was always very good about, you know, letting us know a good way to call out. But sometimes we're calling out. Like a little kid calling for mom, calling for dad, you know, calling for grandma, grandpa, and it seems like an eternity. You know, we hear them, and we're on our way. It's only been, 10 seconds, but for them, it's an eternity. Where are you? But the pandemic has sunk many people into deep depression, dreadful isolation, fear, full retreat. There's health concerns. There's finances. The schools are trying to work through this. Some of you are teachers. A lot of you are students or administrators. Businesses, some will never reopen. The culture wars. There's an election. Our country, everything. Is everything kind of going underwater? Many are suffering. You know, maybe we're treading water, so to speak. You know, just trying to keep it going. Sharks all around. Just trying to tread water. Well, suffering. Suffering for many is self-inflicted. You know, I have my story, you have yours, Liz. You were very honest in there. You know, some choices. We've all made choices. There's consequences for that. We all have our story. Thanks again for sharing, Liz. But suffering can also happen because of someone else's sin. It could be the sin of the church. It could be the sin of a nation that has disregarded God's word and in defiance, stands defiant against Almighty God. And he's a just judge. So, well, if you, his first order is to love. And he speaks life into us. But if we are defiant, say, well, okay, there's judgment. In the spotlight, becoming even more focused, and I've spoken on this a couple weeks ago, is the whole issue of abortion. You know, if you didn't know, in the last 50 years, 62, 63 plus million lives of the unborn were taken. And that's just, I can't believe that number. And truly, their blood cries out from America. Other countries, too. China has forced abortions. It's unbelievable. And the blood is on our hands. And just a few more facts going through this. You know, Judge Ginsburg, her connection to this. She did champion women's rights. I mean, amazing woman. And, you know, she blazed a trail back in the day. And, you know, amazing. But one of her most zealous things was championing, legalizing, and protecting at all costs abortion. You know? And she was failing. You know, many feeling for her, praying for her, the end of her life. But this last year, last couple years, it's been touch and go. And she did die on Rosh Hashanah, the first night of the 10 Days of Awe, the Jewish festival, the night that the trumpets were sounding the alarm, a consecrated time of confession, of repentance, of returning to God, crying out to God for mercy, that he would have mercy on them for one more year. And that's when she passed away. At the end of the feast, you know, it's 10 days, on the eve of the last day, which is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, Amy Coney Barrett, a pro-life believer, judge, You know, quite a difference. She was put forth her name on that last day. Nobody could orchestrate that. There's nobody on this earth that could have orchestrated anything like that. And there's more details. Read Harbinger 2. I commend it to you. I just sent it to my mom, Amazon. She got it yesterday. It's been a jubilee of years since abortion was legalized, 1970. And the number 50 means release. It means return. It means give back. Could it be the time to release the captives, to set the prisoners free, to open the eyes of the blind, to behold what God Almighty is doing in our land, and He wants to do, and use us as well? It's time. It's time to return to God. As Christians believing in the Bible, there's no way around it. We're pro-life. Pray for Judge Barrett, her family. She will go through anguish and suffering as she's vetted over the next month. Pray for protection for her and her family. Pray for all the unborn, for their protection, for how God will deliver each one. He has a hope and a future for each of those children, each of those who are unborn. I know that's heavy, but it's important. God would have us speak on it. But this leads right into the important focus of Psalm 69 and why David is suffering. Verse 9 expands the potential reasons for suffering. Is it self-inflicted? Is it because of somebody else? David in his heart cries out, "Zeal for thy house consumes me. The insults of those who insult you, God, fall on me." David is zealous for the name and the fame of God. It's all about God. And he's not going to do things his own way. He made his own mistakes. He had some self-inflicted consequences. Bathsheba and killing her husband. And the blood never left his family. God said, you know, you shed blood. It's not gonna leave your family line. And it didn't. But he was also used of God, and here he is zealous for God, zealous for God's house, the Lord's house. Leupold says David becomes a typical example of the things that are experienced by all who are truly zealous for the Lord's house. Our zeal for the Lord is to uphold biblical standards. It's about morality. It's about protecting life. It is about doing justice. There's a lot of work to be done with that. It's loving all people. And unity in the Spirit for Christ's church. Because God is holy. And in this pandemic time, God is cleaning house. In so many ways, God is cleaning house. I want to be on the right side of this. I hope you do too. But God is also setting free the captives. He's calling prodigals home. You know, there's a trickling happening. I've seen it in my own experience, my own encounters with people out and about, and God is bringing people back. They are returning. Maybe that's part of your story here this morning. God is calling to you. You want to return, whatever that fashion is, to return to be closer and nearer to God. And to be a vessel of His, and to be zealous for the name and fame of our Lord. Well, Psalm 69:9 is quoted in John 2:17. The disciples remembering it. Jesus is cleansing the temple early in John's gospel. He's cleansing the temple. This is the end of the sacrificial system. No more shedding of the blood of lambs there, because there's one lamb, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world. But Jesus is overthrowing tables and casting people out. You know, my Father's house should be a house of prayer. And then the disciples remembered Psalm 69:9. Oh yeah, zeal for thy house will consume me. Psalm 69 is the most quoted psalm in the New Testament. If you read through there, you even see some of the words of Christ on the cross. Paul's writings as well. Well, let's look at David's crying out just briefly here. Verses 1 through 4, a cry and lament for deliverance. He's worn out. Repeatedly, save me from my enemies. You know, he lays out a situation. But if we love the Lord, if we are therefore committed to His purpose and to the pursuit of His holiness, we will find ourselves at times suffering at the hands of those who are not so committed, or they don't have a clue, or they do not believe in God, they don't believe in Jesus. And it can be painful almost beyond description. When someone's so isolated and alone like that, like being a missionary far away and you're the only one, and there's so many enemies around and you're really suffering, and it is very painful. Yet with God, it's not painful without relief. God is everywhere. His promise is for each and every one who call upon His name. And with that, there's a shift in the psalm at verse 13. It's David's foothold. It's his rock that he stands upon. There's solid ground that he has found in his faith, in his relationship with God, no matter what. It helped him when he battled lions and tigers as a shepherd and took down Goliath with one stone. He knows the rock. He knows the foothold. In the verses before verse 13, he says, he's weeping, he's fasting, he's being mocked at the gate. You know, the drunks are singing songs about him. But he takes responsibility. And the New International Version of verse 13 says this, but I pray to you, Lord. They're singing their songs, they're mocking me, they're trying to take me out, but I'm praying. I'm going to use my voice to pray. I'm not going to curse with my voice. I'm going to speak life. I'm going to pray to you, God. I'm going to speak life. But I pray to you, O Lord, in the time of your favor. So David knows sometimes you got to wait. How many of us know sometimes you got to wait for what God wants to do? If He's orchestrating something, it might be a job, it might be a move, it might be a mate, it might be a child. Who knows what is, but God can line things up. But if we go out on our own, they're cursing me, so you know what I'm gonna do to them? Nothing. I'm standing on the rock. I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna pray to Almighty God. Oh God, answer me with in your great love is the second part of that. Oh God, answer me with your sure salvation. And what are the descriptions of his heart cry after he says, I pray. Rescue me, deliver me, answer me, turn to me. Do not hide your face. Answer me quickly. Come near. Rescue me, deliver me because of my foes. Answer me, Lord, for your loving kindness is good. According to the greatness of your compassion, turn to me. Out of God's great love, in God's timing, he holds his ground. Are you holding your ground? Or have you tried to take things into your own hands? We've got to hold our ground in prayer. There's too much prayerlessness, folks. That doesn't mean you have to come to some group, but there's a renewal in prayer happening. I invite you to come here Tuesday nights in this sanctuary. You will be blessed. I can't help but just share too, Liz, if I don't think you'll mind this. But as Liz, you know, shared earlier, she said, she came to me, she said, Pastor Tim, God wants me to share my testimony. I said, well, we better listen to God. And we set it up, maybe that was a month ago. But we've talked about prayer, and she has wonderful mentors and disciples in her life. But you shared a couple of things, that God is beginning to really speak to you and put things on your mind and heart. God wants to speak to us. Are we listening? Will we join together in prayer? But in Psalm 69, verse 29. He says, "But as for me, afflicted and in pain, may your salvation, God, protect me." And then verse 30. "I will praise God's name and song and glorify him with thanksgiving." All this is going on all around me, and I'm suffering a bit, but there is relief with you, oh God. I'm praying. I'm going to give praise. I'm going to give thanks to God. You know, how can you do that? What's your life's going through? No. I'm going to focus on the Lord. And it's a good word for so much going on in many of our lives right now. Don't know which way to turn. You know, David is in deep water. He's in a sea of trouble. He knows who he is. He knows who God is. So his inner being is ablaze with the Spirit of God. The anointing of God is upon David. Have you ever been there? We all should have been there, because the Holy Spirit is available to all of us. Light the fire now, Lord. Light the fire. More of you and less of me. Come, Spirit, come. Not just to be on fire, but this psalm and much of the Bible is about being a witness, sharing testimony, giving praise to God. It's about being a witness. You know that while we are suffering, others are watching us. The world is watching. In verse 6, he basically says, "Lord, don't let me mishandle the situation. There are people waiting for you, seeking you. Don't let me get in the way of that." That's the best prayer you can ever pray. "Lord, don't let me get in the way. Don't let me mishandle the season I'm in. Don't let me misrepresent you." God's concern is that weak, vulnerable people, you know, even Christians, some that, you know, are young in their faith, that they see people suffering and boom, that's it. They don't think God's good. If you're suffering like that, and well, Pastor Tim, the response that you're making and showing publicly in your suffering, that's not helping anybody. I'll put it on me. Then God is not good. No, we want people to know that God is good. So we are authentic. You know, David, if this psalm resonates with you, take it home and keep praying through it, praying through it. It seemed like when I knew that I was doing Psalm 69 for prayer, I connected with people, two or three, and I gave them that psalm. Said, "Boy, you're going to find yourself in here. You're in a sea of trouble. You know, you feel like you're in a sea of trouble. Read it, pray it. You know, and be authentic, honest, zealous for the Lord, to always praise God and give thanks in everything. Because God is good. God is good." You know, in Isaiah 56, it gives a picture of God's house. You know, "My house should be a house of prayer for all nations." And he talks about gathering in his children of Israel and gathering in foreigners and those who are marginalized. Anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord, anyone who will love his name and love his covenant and love his commandments and keep his Sabbaths. You know, there's a long time that the people of Israel were not keeping the Sabbaths. You know, we don't just put that on them. We don't keep our own Sabbaths. And now, the Lord was gathering people in. "Many will come to my holy mountain," and they will worship. They will come. They will sacrifice. They will maintain a purity in heart, of heart. They're returning to God. "Return to me, and I will return to you," God says. In the book of James, he asks this, 5:13 and 16. "Are any of you suffering? Then pray." Then pray. Maybe that's kind of like, well, of course I'm praying. I'm suffering. I don't think that's always true. We think God has given up on us. God loves you. God is here for you. Yeah, He's cleaning house in many ways. He's refining our lives in many ways, but He loves us. He's disciplining us in many ways. But James also says, anyone cheerful? Then sing praises. Sing praises. Are you sick? Then call the elders. Call the elders of the church to pray over you, to anoint you with oil and lay hands upon you in the name of the Lord. He will restore you. He will heal you. He will raise you up. He will forgive your sins. So confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. James 5, 13 to 16. That's a good word. We don't have time today, but in my devotionals the last week, Psalm 73 was part of that. And David's Psalms end at Psalm 72. Some debate that, but it's kind of an interesting transition because Psalm 73 is a psalm of Asaph, but he definitely knew Psalm 69. He knew Psalm 69 because how he talked about, my foot almost slipped. I almost slipped. Sometimes our foot slips, and, you know, we're not perfect. So now we want to confess our sins. We want to come before the Lord and prepare to receive, you know, the Lord's Supper. So let us pray and prepare. Forgive us, Lord, for prayerlessness, indifference, when we've spoken more curse and death than life. Forgive us, Lord, for times we've allowed fear and apathy or so many distractions to move us away from sharing the gospel with the lost. Help us to take courage and take every opportunity, Lord. Help us to speak up to total strangers, even to risk our personal dignity and safety. But forgive us, Lord, that in our quest at times we're not respectful. No respect for authority. Help us to lead the way. And Heavenly Father, now we just take a moment just to confess our own sins. You know everything about us, and You still love us. So just take a moment of silent confession. This is between you and your Abba Father. He loves you. He wants to hear from you. So let us confess our sins now in silence. Oh, Heavenly Father, You are so good. You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You want us to know that You forgive us and that You love us and that we are free because of Jesus. Free indeed. And forgiven. Amen.
Let us be zealous and thankful in our giving back to the Lord for all the blessings that He has given to us. Now or later, would you please pray with me now? Father God, we do give You thanks and praise for pulling us out of the quicksand, giving us something to hold on to, Lord. Father, it's through prayer that we're able to focus. We're able to get rid of the troubles that we have. We were able to bond with You, Father. It's such a joyful time and a thankful gift that You have given us, Father. We thank you and praise you, and we pray that you accept our tithes and offerings and our gifts before you, Father. It's in your name that we gather, in your name that we pray.
Now is the time where we joyously can celebrate the Lord's table. The gospel tells us that on the first day of the week, the day our Lord rose from the dead, he appeared to some of his disciples and was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. It is true for us as well. Christ is made known to us as we break this bread and drink this cup. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The Apostle Paul tells us that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Paul goes on to tell us that in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup. It is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, that whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the death of Jesus until he comes again." Let us pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you. We just come and stand before you in awe and thankfulness for the amazing gift you have given us in your Son. Thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to go to the cross for each one of us, so that you could give us eternal life, so that you could give us freedom and break our yokes and take yours on. There is no greater love that has ever been shown in the world than God sending his Son and Jesus willingly laying down his life for us. So as we come and partake, let us open our hearts to receive this wonderful gift and celebrate the gift of eternal life, our eternal hope, all that God the Father has given us and Jesus, our Savior, has done for each one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. This is the Lord's table. It is Jesus himself who invites each and every one of us to this meal. This table is open to all who believe and have professed their faith in Jesus Christ. Come and partake in the Lord your Savior. As we get ready to partake, please come forward, and we have bread and juice on each side. Please come forward during the song, take it, and bring it back to your seat. Let us worship. Let us pray. Loving and gracious Father, thank you so much for all that you have given us. Thank you that because of your Son that we can come to you, Lord. We can come at your feet and worship you and praise you and exalt you through all this earth. And we can come before you to your feet with our petitions and our concerns. So, Father, we'd like to lift up a few to you. We thank you, Lord, for your continuing healing in Cole and Allie as they're recuperating, Lord. We ask that you would strengthen their bodies, help them to be whole and know that you were there in their midst. We lift up our sister Harriet to you, Lord, as she is struggling and has fallen again. Father, we ask for your divine touch of healing to touch her bones, to fuse them together to strengthen her so that she may walk fully and holy and upright. Let your presence be felt by her in ways she has not experienced. And we praise you, Lord, for the recovery, even as it is slowly progressing. But we praise you, Lord, for the recovery of Joe Carr. That, Lord, you have done such a miraculous work this far. And we know that you are not done. So we ask for continued healing, continued strength, continued progress in your hand and every intricate detail that needs to line up to continue to go forward. Father, we lift up all those that are hurting and suffering right now, those that we may know and those that we may not. We ask that you come and let your presence just fill them. Let them know what it feels like the God of the universe to put his loving arms around them, to walk among them in their presence, Lord. And for your church, Father, strengthen us. Fill us with that hope. Ignite that hope in us, because it is our eternal promise that one day we will see you. But until that day is, your church has much work to do. So fill us, Lord, with all of you, none of us, but all of you. Fill us with your love so that we may walk out of this building and bring the light of God the Father in every crevice in this earth, so that we may shine your light and your goodness and your truth to a world that desperately needs you. Help us, Lord, to be your hands and your feet and your vessels on this earth. For we, O Lord, want to see you lifted high and exalted through all the earth, because you are the one true God, the Lord God Almighty. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And we love you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Chance when I stand in your
as you go out, the Lord bless you. The Lord give you life and hope. The Lord fill you with His love for you and your love for the world around you. And may He empower us all by the Holy Spirit to live and be light and always standing on that rock, always praying. Be joyful in the Lord. The Lord bless you indeed. Amen.